I'm going to talk about the power of your words and what that effect is. So, and it's still on the subject of spiritual warfare. And people, what I'm ministering to you is what I'm living. So I'm not giving you something that is just a teaching. You probably will not find the way that I've approached this morning in any booklet. Revelation 12 verse 11. When you look at spiritual warfare, that is your victory scripture. Now what's very interesting about this scripture, it gives so much information in one sentence and in one verse that sometimes we don't understand it. They overcome him, that's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Now that word blood in the Greek means the seed of life. It's not only the blood. The life is in the blood. So when you talk about I'm victorious because of the blood, it means that the seed of victory, the seed of life that the Lamb has given you, that is where your victory is. And if you understand the power of blood, you will understand a lot of things. Because in your blood is your immune system, is your oxygen, is your food. And Jesus Christ is all of that. So when we say that you have overcome by the power of the blood, it means you have overcome by the oxygen, your life that's in there. The immune system, the fighting that God is doing for you, the food that he is feeding you with. So we need to connect with the blood of God, and we need to understand the power of the blood. To understand that, he said, that is one of the things that we need to know, that you are victorious. So you will only understand the power of the blood when you are in Christ. That is why he said, when Jesus rose from the dead, he said to Mary Magdalene, don't touch me because I haven't entered heaven yet to present the blood. The moment Mary Magdalene would have touched him there, he would have been linked to earth again. And it was his spirit, a new resurrected life that was resurrected, and he didn't want it to be contaminated by the earth to take in the blood. And it's by the power of the blood and the blood that is still interceding for you. It's not Jesus that's praying. It's the sound of the blood that still says you've been bought with a price. God said to Cain, Cain, you killed your brother Abel. Why is his blood falling from the ground? Abel was already dead and everything. But God heard the sound of the blood. And he said, Cain, what did you do? Today, Jesus has done a perfect job. And he took his own blood into the heavenlies. And now it's the blood, the voice of the blood, the seed of life, throne of life, that is still calling out. And that is the sound of the intercession in heaven. That is why I said Jesus is interceding, because it's his blood that he took in, because he did a perfect job. It was all done perfectly well. So the blood is still saying, it's been done. Nobody can come against it. It has been done. And that is the intercession that's still heard in heaven. Now people have asked me this before. I don't know who of you have ever done this or wondered about this. They say Satan sinned in heaven. So what will prevent us to sin when we are in heaven? Have you ever thought about that? I've been asked that question quite a few times. Previously, sin was just covered by the blood of animals. Today, sin is washed away by the blood. So to enter heaven, you have to accept Jesus Christ and be cleansed by the blood. And because you've got the blood, you cannot sin again in heaven, because you will go through that veil of the blood. So even today, when Satan tries to judge you in heaven, he cannot bring that judgment through as with Job. Why? Because of the power of the blood. That is why they say in Hebrews 12 that you've got an advocate, Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the blood. So you cannot sin again in heaven like Satan and be thrown out. Why? Because the blood has been given. And we need to understand the power of the blood. And that is the first thing that you need to overcome. Then he says, the word of their testimony. Now, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. The last sentence in Revelation 19 verse 10, it says, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So if you testify what Jesus is doing in your life, you are testifying the future open for another person. What is prophecy? Prophecy is to tell what is going to happen. And the moment the prophecy has been released, you start to pray to bring it into your presence. And it says in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So the moment you start to testify what God has done in your life, you are actually speaking words of future breakthrough for the person towards who you testify. Because that gives them hope. That gives them a future. If God wants to do it for you, he will do it for me. Because God doesn't have blue-eyed boys and girls. So your testimony is actually a prophecy. So who of you have thought you cannot prophesy? You see how easy it is to say, but I cannot do it? But the scripture says, the words of your testimony, that is what makes you victorious. So why are you holding back to testify what God has done for you? See, you testify, you prophesy and say, but this is what God can do for you. And in spiritual warfare, that is sometimes that intercession, that standing in between. Because now you prophesy, your testimony glorifies God, so God is going before you to give you the power so that that person can have a breakthrough. So that is where your victory is. Then you start to bring everybody in your vicinity with you into victory. Why? Because of your testimony. And that is one of the ways that you are victorious. That is one of the ways that you actually do spiritual warfare. Why? Because it's a spiritual victory. It's not an earthly victory. How often you would say, I've just prayed and God answered my prayers. But you don't know how he did that. You don't know how he did that. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. So as you testify, you're actually prophesying to the other person. Can you see why it's so important that we look at our words? And then he says, and they did not love their lives even in the face of death. How often have you stood in front of a situation and you thought, I just cannot do this? Didn't that feel like a death situation for you? Because the scripture says, in go back to Genesis 2, God says, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Now, it's not been translated correctly. It actually means, in the Hebrew language, you will die while dying. So it's not an instant death that will happen. You will die while dying. And all of us, the day that you were born, you grow up and then you start to die again. So even while you die while dying, you face death. But you can overcome it. Because I always see it this way. We are born from heaven into earth. Then there are an alien passing by. And I will show you, you look like an alien at the age of 5 weeks after pregnancy. You look like an alien. That's medically been proven. You're an alien just passing by. But then you are born back from the earth into the heavens. Why? Because your spirit cannot die. Will you choose as king in your life today is where you will spend eternity. Hell has not been made for man. Hell has been created for Satan and his followers. And who you choose to follow is where you're going to spend eternity. Because your spirit cannot die. So who do you choose your spirit to follow? Whose word are you speaking? Because you can only overcome by the word of your testimony. Now, many people say, but I speak the right words. There's one tongue that we struggle with, and that's the brain tongue. Have you ever tried to control your thoughts? The tongue in your thoughts is more powerful in your own life than the tongue in your mouth. And we need to control that thought life, that tongue there also. And the worst case scenario is the tongue in your thought life is only affecting you the most. Because what you think is actually the vibration that you're giving off. So you're vibrating with your thoughts, and where is that vibration coming from? And you have the outflow of that thought that's in your mind. So that is the three things that God said when John was on the island of Patmos, that he said that you will overcome. The blood of the Lamb, that seed of life, the word of your testimony, what you prophesy, and that you don't worry about your own life because you face death every day. And I conquer it every day. Have you ever thought about that? You conquer death every day by living another day. So you are victorious every single day. Every problem that you overcome, you are victorious upon. Have you ever thought about that? We only focus on those things that we don't accomplish. But Jesus said, you've overcome. Everything that you accomplish is something that you've overcome. That makes you victorious. Now, I want to stand still a little bit at the word of your testimony. I'm going to start at John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him, that's verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 14. And the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Now, what's important is in Genesis 3 verse 15, God said, I will bruise his head. He already spoken the word that's fulfilled in John 1. Because he spoke the word and 4,000 years later, Mary was impregnant. You need words and spirit. So God spoke it in Genesis 3. Who overshadowed Mary? The Holy Spirit. So the Word and the Spirit came together and she became pregnant with Jesus. Is that right? Who was the first person on earth to recognize that Jesus was on the earth? John the Baptist. While he was still in the womb. Spirit to spirit connection. Because when John the Baptist and Jesus connected. What happened with Elizabeth? She was filled with Holy Spirit. See that power translation between the two babies. Why? Because a child from conception up to 7 years lives out of their spirit. And the first recognition of Jesus on earth was a child in the womb. Perhaps we must all go back to the womb, then we'll recognize Jesus Christ. But can you see, we need to come back to say, okay, God, I want to be inside of you. Now, if we look at that, and Jesus said, I've given my word so that you can live that out. If God spoke something and it comes into existence, the word became flesh. If everything that you say will become visible, would you like it? So whose breath has come through your mouth that you spoke that you don't want to exist? See, was it the Spirit of God that came through you? Or was it another spirit? Was it another breath? Okay, let's take it a little bit further back. If everything that you think will become flesh, what will happen? See, sometimes we can control our words, and that is what's happening. Everything that you think actually becomes flesh. It becomes real inside of you because it forms a brain path, and your body is reacting to that brain path that you form in your mind. And then you wonder why I'm in chaos. Because what you thought about has become flesh. It's a brain path in your mind. Now it sounds dangerous, hey? Everything that you look at becomes a brain path. It becomes flesh. James wrote, say, control your tongue. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you think. We only think about words that we speak, but it's even the words in your mind, because it becomes flesh. Because it's been driven by a spirit. And it can be your spirit, it can be demonic spirit, or it can be God's spirit. And your spirit can be linked either to God or to Satan. Whose breath are you breathing? See where we struggle with spiritual warfare. Because if this is not in place, how will any demonic force listen to you? I'm going to show you where your power and authority comes in. Because that is where your breakthrough comes. But we need to be very careful with what we think. Especially what we think. Because that becomes flesh in our own bodies. It becomes a brain path. Your words that you think in your mind becomes a brain path. And then you have to renew your mind to get rid of that thing. And it takes 10 times longer to get rid of it than it was to get it in there. So the words that you think and what you speak becomes flesh inside of you. Because it's a brain path. And we don't see that. That is why we struggle. And then we want to take that same word and we want to change our mind. But we don't allow it to become spirit inside of us. And the moment it's a living spirit, your mind will spontaneously change. Why? Because it's your spirit. It's that breath inside of you that feeds that thought. So the spirit inside of you needs to breathe with God on his rhythm so that your mind can think what God thinks. Did you take hold of that fruit? What does God say? Jesus himself says this. It is the spirit who gives life. Isn't that exactly what I've just said? See, I'm saying things that I'm living. I'm not always winning, but I'm trying. It's the spirit who gives life. So if your spirit is connected with God's spirit, what will flow out of you? Life. Then your words, your thoughts will become life. But because we don't feed our spirits, we just read the Bible and pray because it's the right thing to do. We don't eat it so that it becomes part of us. So we don't say, God, what does that mean for me in my daily life? How do I live that? Why do you give me this scripture for this season? The moment you start to ask those questions, you make the scripture part of you. And the moment you make it part of you, what happens? Life starts to flow. Because it says, it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no benefit. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. So as we take hold of the word of God and we say, God, just make it part of me, it will become spirit and it will become life. Do you need life? Ask God for the scripture for now. And it could be that he will take you for on one piece of scripture for 2-3 months. Now in December, God has given me one psalm. And that's all I read for the whole of December. Why? Because God wanted me to be part of me. God told Graham Cook, for the next year, you must read Psalm 91. He says, okay, God, until when must I read it? At the end of the day, God says, you will read it until I say it's finished. He says, okay, God, is that for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 days? God says, until I tell you it's finished. He says, okay, I'll do it. He says, I can't remember after how many months or weeks. He said he was so hungry just to read Timothy. And he started to read Timothy, and even with the first verse, he couldn't see anything. And by the second verse, God said to him, what are you doing? And he said, then he knew he was in trouble. He said, God says, Graham, I've asked you something very specific for a very specific reason. I want that to become part of your life so that you can walk in the path that I've called you for. And for 9 months, he only studied Psalm 91. Today, when you look back, you can understand exactly why God was doing that. What is the scripture that God has given you for now to feed your spirit on? Yes, hear my heart. Circumstances will come against you. Satan will come and say, ach, but. Just like with Eve. Are you going to stretch forth your hand and grab hold of that fruit? Or are you saying, I'm going to humble myself and face God and turn from that evil way that he's trying to withhold me? Satan will use anything. And the people the closest to you, he will use the most to hurt you, to get away from that specific order that God has given you. Be careful for that. Because the Spirit is what gives you life. So if you read the Word of God and it doesn't become life, you're going to struggle. A man on the street got saved. And God said to him, you're going to pray for the people in the hospital. And he went to pray for the people in the hospital and they got up like that. They just stood up. And this one pastor in this area said, I don't know how this man do it. What is he doing differently? Because I pray that I don't get healed. The man said, yeah, come with me, it's fine. And they chat with the person and the man said, can I pray for you? And the person said, yes, you're welcome. And they said, okay, let's pray. Close their eyes. A, B, C, D. The pastor said, stop. That's not a prayer. He says, that's a prayer. God knows how to order the alphabet. I don't know. So give him the order. ABC. And the patient stood up with him. Why? Because it's the Spirit who gives life. It's not your words. So if you breathe from out of your spirit, the atmosphere changes. How often have you just stepped into an area and all of a sudden everything got quiet? And people afterwards say, when you step into the room, the atmosphere changed. Let me give you this testimony. The Spirit gives life. God was calling this lady and said to her, you have to work in the bars. She said, no, God, I'm a businesswoman. You can pull her through a ring every time she goes to work. Go in there at night. No way, no nightclubs. I'm not going to go in there. And God was prompting her. She's working, doing that today full time. But he was prompting her. And one night she just said, okay, God, I will do it. And she went into this nightclub. And as she stepped in, everybody got quiet. You could hear a pin drop. Nobody moved. And she moved into this place. And she was aware of what's happening there. And she got up into the middle of the place. And she just looked around and she started to weep. She wept so much that she actually fell to the ground. And just cried and cried and cried and cried. And when she felt calm, she stood up and she walked out. And she just said, God, what happened? A few years later, she was at a conference. And a blonde lady was running towards her and said, hi, I don't think you can remember me. She says, no. She says, I was one of the people that was in that nightclub that night. We were busy doing blood sacrifices. And as you walked in, everything froze. We couldn't move because of the light that was shining through you. When you moved out, we all bent our knees and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She didn't say one single word. She was just crying. It's the Spirit who gives life. It's the Spirit that gives life. What life is inside of you today? Have you given up on life? So if you've given up on life, it means you are suppressing the Spirit of God inside of you. And you allow that circumstances override whatever God wrote in your heart and your spirit. See why we struggle with spiritual warfare? Because our spirits are suppressed. One lady walked into a nightclub. The whole nightclub got saved. Why? Because of the Spirit that was inside of her. What spirit is flowing out of you? What breath is flowing out of you? Whose breath is flowing out of you? Or did your words that you think of become so strong and it's so much flesh inside of you that your mind is more focused on your circumstances and the fleshly world than it is on God's word? So we've got more flesh thoughts than we've got word thoughts, spirit thoughts. It's not what you do. It's not a deed. Ephesians 2 verse 9. It's the Spirit who gives life. What spirit is flowing through you? So let's summarize that. The word became flesh. The flesh spoke the word. And the words become spirit, life, fire, and a hammer. When did the word become fire? In John 20, the disciples were locked up in the room. And all of a sudden Jesus is there. Receive the Holy Spirit. He first said, peace to you. Because they were so shaken. Now, if we are here in the room and all of a sudden there's a figure of somebody that died, what would you do? Make a new door that way. Exactly. And the disciples were hiding. So Jesus first had to say, peace with you. He first had to speak to their spirits to calm them down. Otherwise, I cannot accept it. Peace to you. And then he said again, receive the Holy Spirit. It was only when there were peace inside of them and they accepted the words of peace that the Holy Spirit could flow through them. And then he said, don't wait for power. And when they waited for power, in Acts 2, what came down? Fire. But sit on each one of their tongues. The word became fire. Why? There's times that you can have fire that's dangerous. Because John and James asked, can we call fire down to destroy the city? And what did Jesus say to them? You don't know from which spirit you are. So your words can become such a fire that you destroy. Or it can be a fire to bring salvation. Your words is a fire in the heavenlies. Damon Thompson gives this testimony. A man stepped into one of the pastor's offices, excited, and says, I want to get saved now. Now get saved. He had encountered the previous night with God and he wanted to get saved. They saved him. He was immediately baptized, so he was close with God. And I said, okay, just tell us, what are you doing? He says, no, we're cursing people. You can actually get this on YouTube. Damon Thompson. He says, no, we curse everybody. We curse the people. He says, are you cursing everybody? He says, no. We only curse the people with a small flame. They're Christians, but we curse them so that they don't know what the power is of that flame that they're carrying. The moment you've got the Spirit of God in you, you've got fire. The Satanists and the New Agers can see that. You don't see it. That is why Satan tries to actually squench the Spirit alive in you. He says to him, okay, the other people that you don't curse, why don't you curse them? He says, no, their whole body is covered in fire. They speak in a funny language. You don't curse them. Because we've learned, if you curse them, it comes back 7 times worse. We don't believe it, but they believe it. They don't curse the people who are covered in fire. What breath is flowing through you? That is where your victory will lie. See, we need to get that breath of God through us, and we need to be in tune with it. And it's difficult. If your circumstances are difficult, it's difficult to get that word in. But what you do is, God, what is your scripture for now? Because the word became flesh. All right, God, what is your word for now? I take this word and I start to ponder on it. I start to think about it. I say, God, how do I live this? How can it become part of me? And the moment it becomes part of you, you will speak that word and fire will go out. Why? Because you are in Christ Jesus. So when you speak it, what's going before you? Let's go back to the baby in the womb. If that baby kicks inside, how does the mom feel? Especially when they speak and they start to kick you here right in the side. It's painful. So what happens if you are in Christ? People, I want you to see this picture. The moment you start to speak, now that becomes part of you. You're in Christ. So you speak from inside, and God is backing you, but he's actually going before you. Because as you speak, it's like that baby that kicks, and the word goes, but it's driven by the power of God, and the word is just the engine that's driving this car. So you don't see the engine, you just see the car coming. And that will happen if the word becomes part of you and you speak it out. Because Isaiah 58 verse 8 says, your righteousness will go before you. And the Spirit of God will be your rear guard. So as you speak in the righteousness of God, why? Because you're clothed with the armor of God. Isaiah 58 verse 8. You speak the word from out of God's breath. From out of God's fire. Now you speak that into the atmosphere. The atmosphere must submit to the words of God. When it is in season and it's driven by God, now you're victorious. Now you've got a spiritual warfare. Now it's not spiritual warfare anymore. Now it's spiritual victory. And that is where we have to function from. Now I've moved myself into the heavenlies. I'm in Christ. I'm in the throne room. I've eaten from this word and from the fruit and veggies and whatever for the season. And I come out and I speak what is inside of me. And the righteousness of God goes before me. Nothing can stand in front of the righteousness of God. Not even death. A man stood on his knees with ISIS. He gave his testimony on a mission conference. They wanted to kill him. Everybody were beheaded. Everybody was beheaded. And he stood in front of this man on his knees and he said, can I just spend 3 minutes with you? So man says, yes, it's fine. You can spend 3 minutes with me. And in that 3 minutes, he gave him the gospel and led him to Christ. And he was released. Now, humanly, it's impossible to lead anybody within 3 minutes with Christ. But it's the Spirit. It's the Word that became flesh that lives among us. So every thought that you think becomes flesh in your mind. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you say. Because that is the fire that will flow out of you. It says in John 1 verse 9 and 10, and this is where we often miss it. It says, the true light came into the world and gives light to every man. He, the light, was in the world. And the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Often, we don't know the light of God's word inside of us. If you will realize that wherever you walk, you are a light that's shining in this world, you will probably do less what you're doing. If I move around, I will ask God, cover me where needed and let me shine where needed. Because there's certain areas that you don't want to shine. Especially when their third eyes are open. This man, a man was running away from the people that wanted to kill him. And it was during the night. And it's one of those countries that everybody was sitting on the floor. You don't go there with bare feet. And eventually he ran away from the police and he was driven into a corner. And he knew how this place looks like. Because he was there during the day. And God said to him, fall down. He says, no, God. There, I'm not falling down. God says, fall down. He says, no. He says, God says, fall down now. And he did that. And as he landed on his stomach, the light of the police went just over him. And he was saved. Because the police refused to go in there. Sometimes God's going to ask you something that's not very nice. But if you do it, you will face death if you don't do it. But if you do it, you will save your own life. And often we are in trouble because God has warned us in our spirits, but we ignore our spirits and then we want to do warfare because it brought us ourselves in trouble. But we don't listen to where our spirit is. We often react to how we feel and what we think is right, not what the spirit says. If you think about this, Jesus went to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed her. Now, I know some people will not ask Jesus to heal their mother-in-law, but Peter did. And he was healing everybody that evening there. And the next morning, the disciples were looking for Jesus. And they said, where are we? Where are you? Where are you? And they found him coming down the mountain where he was praying. And they said to him, Jesus, come, the people are waiting for you. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to the next city. But they said, but Jesus, they're all there with all this sickness. You've healed all the things that they've brought more. Jesus said, no, I'm only doing what the Father is telling me to do. I only do what I see the Father do, and we have to move to the next city. Jesus never reacted to people's needs. He reacted to the word of the Father. And often we are involved in situations where we do spiritual warfare that is not our place to do it. Before you step in and you say, okay, I will pray for you until there's a breakthrough. Just make sure God says it's your place to do it. Otherwise, you're going to have a backlash. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. But then you must know what the Father is saying. That means you have to spend time in the throne room of God and not in the world. This is the scripture I've given you previously. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper so he may be with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. So if you accept that Jesus Christ, that Spirit of truth, is always with you. And if you feel alone, it means you separated your thoughts from your spirit. And that's why you feel alone. But if you feel in the spirit, you will realize that you're not alone. So if you feel alone, just ask God, why do I feel alone? What happened that I'm not connecting with your spirit inside of me? Now, Jesus has fulfilled everything. So in spiritual warfare, we use authority and power. But it's two different principles. Matthew 28:19, and Yeshua, Jesus, came up to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What authority has not been given to Jesus? Jesus had everything. So why does Satan have authority on earth? Because we as people think the way that Satan thinks, so we are giving that authority away, and then Satan, we are in agreement with Satan, and that gives authority. The one that you agree to, the one that you are listening to, that's the one's authority that you are following. Take away your stones. I'm going to quickly step on it. If you and your partner is fighting, and you keep on thinking about that fight, who are you agreeing with? So you keep on agreeing with the fight instead of agreeing with God to bring the peace. So the sooner you make peace, the sooner you can actually agree with peace again. Can you understand why children then experience so much pain? Because parents are agreeing with fighting instead of with peace. Anger is not wrong. It's what you do with anger. Because Paul says, get angry but don't sin. It's not anger that's the problem. It's what you do during your anger that's the problem. So it's not just trying to control the anger. It's a way of trying to control the sinning aspect of the anger. Ephesians 2 verse 9 and 10, we've looked at this. So we have to realize that our circumstances are inside of Christ, with us inside of Christ. That is, if you are in Christ. Unless you wanted to abort yourself earlier and say, I don't want to fight that fight because God wants to do it there. God, I'm not going to India. I'm sorry, I'm not going to India. No, God, I'm going to make it easier for myself, and I'm going to go to Polokwane, because here in Pretoria, there's too much fighting going on. Polokwane is much peaceful, and there's more fruit that I like. In Pretoria, there's no fruit. And the God says, I want you here. And everything goes wrong, and you say, for everybody, please pray with me so that this thing can go through. And God says, what are you doing? You're fighting against your own spirit. You're fighting against your own spirit. So let's have a look at authority. Authority is given to children. And John 1 verse 14 says, everybody that accepted Jesus Christ can become children of God. So authority is given to children. But authority is directly linked to your purpose. God has dreamt you. There's a dream that God has dreamt about you. And your authority is in that dream that God has given you. So you have to find out what is your specific purpose. There's a global purpose for mankind, but each person's got a very specific purpose. David was born to be king. Moses was born to be the leader of Israel. Jeremiah was born as a prophet of nations. John the Baptist was born to be the voice in the wilderness. So there's a reason why you were born. Have you ever found that reason? That is where your authority is, and that is why we as Christians struggle, because we don't know what is our specific purpose. And your purpose is what God has dreamt about you, and your authority is when the Holy Spirit works with that purpose to fulfill it on the earth. That gives you authority. So the Holy Spirit backs that authority. A policeman doesn't have authority. He's got the authority because something is backing him. So if you find your purpose, the Holy Spirit will flow through you, and you will have authority to speak in certain places because of that purpose that's inside of you. Jesus' purpose was to save the world. That is why he could speak into it. His purpose was to take the sin out of the world, to bring healing. So whatever you need, the authority is in Jesus Christ. So if you are in Jesus Christ, you've got all authority. But he will back you for your purpose for that moment. Your authority is when you're in agreement with God, with your purpose. It's when the Holy Spirit flows through you. And then as you release the power, you will change the atmosphere. So your words will activate the Holy Spirit in that atmosphere. That is authority. And in spiritual warfare, we need authority. So find your purpose and you've got your authority. As easy as that. If your spirit is blocked, you're going to struggle with that one. There is help. Power. Power is received through encounters. Power's got nothing to do with you. Power's got nothing to do with your purpose. Power is for this moment or season. John G. Lake received power from God, and for 9 months of his life, he couldn't touch people. Because the moment he touched them, they will go to the ground. That was the amount of power that flowed through him. So power is for a very specific moment or season, and in agreement with God, you flow with the Holy Spirit. Where agreement is, the Holy Spirit flows with your purpose. In a power encounter is when you follow where the power is going. So it doesn't matter what your purpose is. In that moment, there is a power release in that atmosphere, and anybody can lay hands on somebody and there will be healing, because we flow with the power that's been released. Who of you have ever been shocked by electricity? Do you have the ability to control your movements? That's a power encounter with God. You don't control your movements, you go with the power. So that means the Holy Spirit is going in front of you and you follow the Holy Spirit. Now, all authority has been given to Jesus, because Jesus has fulfilled all the purposes, and he says you're in him, so he's given you the purpose, and his authority is now backing your purpose. Power is when he says, okay, let's throw the purpose out. I'm just going to give you this experience. And now you've got this encounter, and whatever happens there, happens. And you've got no control over it. You're still in your right mind. But for that moment, it is more about God and it's got nothing to do with you. And people can often not understand the power encounters. Why? Because it's so out of control. My mom was shot by electricity when she was 10, 12. She was grabbed on her thumb and she was thrown over the yard from the one side to the other side. What if you've ever experienced that with electricity? See, power encounters differ from person to person. Now, you step into a church, there's a power encounter, and what does people do? Whose spirit is not open, they start to criticize and say, it's this demon, it's this demon, it's this demon. But they don't flow with the power encounter for that moment. And then you get judgment on the power encounter of God. And people get hurt in church because of that. If you don't understand something, don't say it's a demon. Go and listen to God in your spirit and say, God, what happened there? Did I miss something or was something wrong? Don't listen to the critics outside there. Because we're breaking our own soldiers down. A man was working in the Muslim areas, and God said to him, go with the Muslims into the mosque and pray with them in tongues, but do all the actions with them. Pray in tongues. He led more of that Muslim men to God than any other missionary. But the church in South Africa were criticizing him and said, you've become a Muslim, so we're not going to finance you anymore. Why? Because what they've seen is out of line. But they had a power in town that they've never seen how many people he led to Christ. How many missionaries went to the fields? And the churches backed them, and because they haven't planted a church within a year, they withdraw their backings. But they don't see how many children have been led to Christ, and those children are infiltrating the houses and the schools. But yes, we want a building. Now I want to come to a church where the power of God comes down. And you step into the church, you don't understand it. No, he's got a demon. That's a demon. That's a manifestation. That's that. And we don't see the power encounters that the people have. So what happens? Everybody's shutting down the power encounters. My own brother had a power encounter in Benny Hinn's church. We all had. We were standing, the four of us, my dad, my mom, me, and my brother. And the power of God came down. Now, if you know my dad, he's longer than I am. He's quite big. And the power of God came down. There's my mom standing there at the back. Smaller than I am. She hit my dad 4 chairs to the side. He didn't know what hit him. She was on the ground. I was 2 rows backwards. And we started to look for my brother. We couldn't find him. In a crowd of 20,000, he was sitting next to me. When everybody got out, we realized, okay, there's a group of people, so let's go there. And he was sitting there, crunching in, crunching the whole time. Couldn't stand up. Harsh head what he was, he says to me, I'm not allowed to drive, he will drive. Couldn't even drive straight, but anyway, we got home. By God's grace, power encounter. That evening, 3 o'clock, he woke my dad up and said, please, just pray that this stops. It was like electricity that ran through him. 2 years later, he tried to run away from his calling. He ran right into his calling. He planted 2 churches already. He went out of Africa, trying to get away from everything here. Right into, in London, he planted his first church. He's busy with his second church. Within 2 years, the church in Belgium that he's running is over 150 people. And all the missionaries would tell you, Belgium is the graveyard of missionaries. Can't speak to anybody. Why? He had a power encounter. If you don't understand what's happening with somebody in the spirit, don't criticize it as a demon. We were coming back from a church meeting. Everybody was okay. My mom opened the door. And as she opened the door, she just made a somersault that she stayed on the floor. Touched by the Spirit of God. If you don't understand it, just leave it. Don't criticize it. Why? Because God says he gave his disciples power and authority. You need both to be victorious. You need both to be victorious. I had a power encounter now in September in the UAE. I was actually ministering to a lady, and all of a sudden, a power came through me, and I was struggling to finish my ministry to her, and I said to them, just excuse me. And I went downstairs, because one of the rooms, there was a demonic activity going on there. They prayed and prayed. I couldn't get that thing clean. And as I stepped into that thing with a power encounter, I didn't know what was going on. I just moved that power, and as I stepped into that room, the room was cleansed. Immediately cleansed. And they were praying and fasting about that place, and I couldn't get it clean. A power encounter. If you don't understand it, don't criticize it. The church criticizes power encounters, but they don't see the effect of a power encounter. And you need that power encounter, that it's not about you, it's not what you understand, it's not how you're going to do it, you just follow it. But then there's times when God will say, your purpose is now the thing that needs to be done. My purpose is to give people hope and to bring them in the love of God. So wherever I go and I start to speak, people get hope. I was sitting in group gatherings. Then I will just speak. And eventually, my mom and my sister, just one sec, it was on her kitchen team. And she said to my mom, just look at Renee. I started to speak to the lady next to me. Eventually, I had a crowd around me. And I thought, what is happening? I was actually sitting in the corner so that nobody could see me. But my words of hope were drawing people close to me. That is authority. So you need authority and power. The moment you understand your purpose, the words that you will speak will change the atmosphere. That is where you will become victorious. And these times when God will say, zip it. You don't say a word because this is not your war. This is not the place where you will fight. And we need to understand those things. If you don't understand what your purpose is, there's a good thing that I can actually say that's a good mail that you can use. And that's knee mail. Go down on your knees and ask God. It's not always like that he will give it to you, but knee mail works very well. Very well. So Jesus had all power and authority. So if we, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, you have the mind of Christ. It doesn't say you have the mind of God. It says you've got the mind of Christ. What does Christ mean? Christ is anointing. So your mind is supposed to be so anointed that even when something wants to touch it, it will just roll down. But we have the mind of the Messiah. Now, all that it means is you rub in with oil. So if you rub in with sun oil, can anybody touch you? Can they grab hold of you to throw you in the swimming pool? Why not? You're slippery. So if you've got the mind of Christ, your mind is supposed to be so slippery that no thought of Satan can actually penetrate it. That means we just have to say, God, will you start to breathe through me? We need to bring our focus back and say, God, what do you want? Psalm 22, God says, he tabernacles in the praises of Israel. And if we will just start to worship God for who he is and just lift him up. God, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the bread that fed me. You are the Christ that anoints me. And you start to worship him for who he is. What do you think will happen inside of you? Where will your focus be? What will happen to your mind? See, now that word becomes God flesh in your brain. And you will be victorious. That is how we start spiritual warfare. We don't start with learning all the demons. We start with, God, let your breath come back into me. So that I can get my focus back on you. That is the beginning of spiritual warfare. So we live from out of the throne room of God and we speak what he says, not from an earthly perspective, from what I see and try to fight it. If you look at an army, the foot soldiers cannot see the whole picture that's in front of them. They have to listen to the general that's outside that can see where all the armies are of the enemy. So if we listen to God and allow him to breathe through us again, we will not walk into the enemy's camp unless God tells us to do it. But you will be safe. How do you listen with your spirit? You've got your brain with 4 million years of space. So don't tell me you cannot remember. For me, it's a situation of my finding is that going, my finding is the problem in my mind. Okay. So in your mind, you've got 4 million years of space to think. Your heart's got 40,000 brain cells. And in your gut, you've got between 400 to 600 million brain cells in your gut. And you often step into a place, you've got a gut feeling. That's the connection with your spirit.